Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, what up? They eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all of them. Gotta you show me if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind to beauty of life. But when my mom said again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my D&P right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him. Little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The army's a school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals I build. With dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick Hill. For fish gills, the cops love. The time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holsters. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Up the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. Black gorilla, crib and blood and one only. Just know my face, I be the case for the wish at the police. Look at the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute the new Huey
Newton. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force. Of what we fight for, my heart goes to you beautiful wife in war.
Enlist in more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule is strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
You're waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad brothers!
Free the Soledad brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see to that.
damn way it hurts.
Starring Gary Dorden from TVCSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the Line, Revolutionary Greenness. Welcome to another edition of Jordan Invention Radio. I'm your host, Blue Money Secure, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. Our fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. Our fifth goal is prepare new African prisoners for release, reduce new African recidivism. And our overall goal is transferring the entire pre-industrial slave complex into the prison system, to the big issues of learning through educational means. Before I bring in our guest tonight, I'd like to go over some events that happened in history during this week. On February 5th, 1866, Congressman Thaddeus Stevens offered an amendment to Freedmen's Bureau bill authorized distribution of public land on confiscated land to freedmen and law refugees in Fort Ecolotte. The measure was defeated in the House by a vote of 126-37. 1934, Hank Aaron was born. In 1962, a suit speaking to bar in Inglewood, New Jersey from maintaining racially segregated elementary schools filing U.S. District Court. In 1982, the unemployment rate for new Africans fell to 16.8% from 17.3%, according to U.S. Labor Report. On February 6, 1820, a ship called the Mayflower of Liberia sailed from New York City with 86 new Africans. The ship arrived in Sierra Leone on March 9. In 1925, students struck at Fisk University to protest policies of white administration. In 1945, Bob Marley, international reggae artist, was born in Jamaica. In 1961, the JLM movement started in Rock Hill, South Carolina, where students refused to pay fines and requested jail sentences. Students' Nonviolent Coordinating Committee urged Southwide Jail No Bail campaign. In 1971, Marvin Gaye, No More R&B Hit, What's Going On, was released. February 7, 1867, new African delegation led by Frederick Douglass calling President Andrew Johnson and urged ballots for former slaves. Meeting ended in disagreement and controversy after Johnson reiterated his opposition to new African suffrage. 1872, Alcorn AME College was opened. In 1884, Great Zulu African King Sitawayo, who defeated the British Army, died. In 1974, Grenada gained its independence, and we support that. In 1861, the Confederate States of America organized at a meeting in the state capital in Montgomery, Alabama, and adopted a constitution declared that the passage of any law denying or impairing the right of property in Negro slaves was prohibited. Alexander Stevens, vice president of the Confederacy, said that it was the first government in the history of the world based upon the idea that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is a natural and moral condition. The Confederate states included Arkansas, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia. In 1915, demonstrations and riots erupted at the opening of a movie, Birth of a Nation. D.W. Griffin apologized for Ku Klux Klan violence and an overthrow of the Reconstruction government. The NAACP led a national protest against the racial production. The Boston chapter said, we protest the proposition that the Patriot slander, disparagement of a minority race shall make license and music for the rest of the people. In 1925, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey in a federal prison in Atlanta. In 1926, the first Black History Week celebration took place, and they gave birth 50 years later to what we call Black History Month, what we celebrate, what we commemorate right now in particular, by Carter G. Woodson. in 1950, W.D. Du Bois was indicted on a federal charge of being an agent for a foreign government. The indictment said W.D. Du Bois was an officer of the Peace Information Center, which had, the government said, direct ties to a foreign government. A federal judge dismissed the case. In 1968, also killed three students during a demonstration on the campus of South Carolina State in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Students were protesting segregation at an Orangeburg bowling alley. February 9th, 1906, Paul Laurence Dunbar, the first new African to make a major reputation as a writer, died in Dayton, Ohio at the age of 33. On February 10th, 1868, conservatives aided by military forces seized Convention Hall and established effective control over reconstruction process in Florida. Republican conservatives drafted new constitution that consecrated political power into the hands of the governor and limited the impact of the new African vote. In 1931, James Edward Maceo West was born. He is an investor and a Kostkin. He holds over 254 U.S. patents for the production and design of microphone and technique for creating polymer for electronics. 1989, Ronald H. Ron Brown elected chairman of the Democratic Party and became the first new African to head a major political party. In 1992, Alice Haley died of a heart attack at the age of 70. You know, he was the one to put out Roots. He also wanted to put out Honorable Malcolm X and a few other things. On February 11, 1898, Owen L.W. Smith of North Carolina, L.M.E. Zion minister and educator named Ministers of Liberia. In 1933, the first black library was founded in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In 1961, Robert Weaver, sworn as administrator of the Housing and Home Finance Agency, hired federal post to date by New Africa. In 1971, Whitney Young Jr., 49, National Urban League Director, drowned during recreational swim in International Conference in Lagos, Nigeria. In 1977, Clifford Alexander Jr., the former, the first New African Secretary of the Army. 1989, the Most Reverend Barbara Harris, confirmed as the first woman bishop of the Episcopal Church. 1990, African National Congress Nelson Mandela released from prison after 27 years. Tutumis crowd greeted the 71-year-old activist. In 2007, Charles Langford, who's a lawyer who represents Rosa Parks, dies. You know, those events happening in history in this week, we know it's plenty more, but the show must continue. You know, again, I want to thank everybody coming to the platform to listen to us, to follow our broadcast, and also be involved in what we got going on. Also be involved in your community and your organization, collective, and building up something positive in your area, so to speak. And tonight, I'd like to welcome to the show Conrad Atajaway, Jasheer Akeblon.
Peace and love. How you doing?
Peace and love. I'm well, brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing well.
Okay. That's wonderful, man. The first thing I want to ask you, man, what did Conrad George signify to you in your life? What did Conrad George mean to you?
Conrad George made me a real thinker. Conrad George, he posed a question to me the first time I read him. I didn't understand, so I had to ask some of my older comrades. And Conrad George, in his book, he said he met Lenin, he met Stalin, he met these people. And I was like, how did he meet them and he was in jail? You know? So I asked my comrade, hey, comrade, I'm reading this book, man. And Conrad George was like, he met these people. How did he meet them? And he was like, hey, you know, he wrestled with their ideologies. He really got to know him in and out. He used his imagination. Che Guevara said that the number one thing that any revolutionary can have, the most important thing, is an imagination. And he used his imagination to really wrestle with them and meet them and see if their ideas made sense for our community. And, you know, and he went back and forth with him, and he was like, I met him. I talked to him. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. So that made me have to think on a whole nother level. It's like, not only do I have to read and study, but I also have to wrestle with information and fight with it to see if it makes sense for our people, to see if we can apply it to ourselves right now, apply it to our situation right now. And it takes a high level of thinking and organization and management. And I'm appreciative to be able to have met Conrad George in my mind and in my struggling and going back and forth with his ideology.
True indeed. That's a beautiful thought, man. You know, Conrad George is a real black guerrilla theoretician, man, and a practitioner. You know, the thing he just read, thing he spoke about, he actually did these things, right? Or he was on the way to doing things. You know what I'm saying? He's always the type of individual that practiced what he preached. He made things practical. He applied what he studied with his research. If he learned these various languages, he taught these languages to different people. He taught these martial arts to people. Whatever he learned and what he learned, he put it in his practical experience, day to day life, and incorporated, you know, and turned into a living situation. You know, he was scientific in his approach to everything. You know, just like a scientist, they gather information and data and perform experiments. That's what he did. You know, to see if it come out right. You know what I'm saying? See if it's theoretical or see if it's not actual. You know, see if it's factual, which is a beautiful thing, man. You know, first of all, thank you for coming to our platform to show your knowledge and understanding. Thank you for the work you did in the past, the present, and the future, right? And, you know, to take us on through the show, I want to ask you, for the people who don't know, you're the chairman of the People's Party, independent co-founder. Tell a little bit about the People's Party for Independence for the people who don't know. Tell about the People's Party. What is the People's Party for Independence? What exactly is that?
And thank you for having me on, brother. You know, I always enjoy coming on, speaking with the people and with you as well. So thank you for your platform. And we're the People's Party for Independence. We're a political community organization. We know we work grassroots right with the people. We want to keep the community safe, clean, and organized. We also want to own, operate, and control the community. And in doing so, we want to have we do it through five principles. It's the acronym of Deep Sea. And we do it through defense, economics, education, politics, and culture. And we believe if we can control those five pillars inside of our community, we can start to have some type of control over what's happening inside of our community. And once we start doing that, we have to start investing in the community. And when we invest into the community, we think that five institutions would help inside of our communities. We think a hospital, a bank, a community center, a grocery store, and a school. Those five institutions would be very important inside of our community. We can get these institutions to our people by us, for us, by investing the money that we make on our jobs, by raising money through community members, through families, through successful New Africans. And we've been having a successful job at working on a grassroots level in our community. Now we're getting into working with different people from other cities because they're seeing the work. And the work is for everybody to do. So the People's Party for Independence is just a political organization that is the voice for our people, because we don't, when Marcus Garvey came, he said, where's the black man government? Where's the black man's military? Where the black man flag? He said, I didn't see one, so I just thought I'd help create it. And that's our approach. We came up, our people were being mistreated. We looked around for the black government. We didn't see it. We was like, okay, let's build it. Let's just continue to work with Marcus Garvey, and that's what we're doing. We're just picking up the torch, and we're doing what we need to do for our community.
True indeed. You know, in regards to that, I seen a video that was posted on the People Party for Independence page that, where you said you made that same quote, like, where's the black man? Where the black people government at? And you said the People Party for Independence is here. What do you mean by that?
So, in any time in organizing your people, You have to have some type of political organ that pushes things through. Rap Brown said that politics starts with an empty stomach. If someone in your community is hungry, what are your politics on feeding that person? So we develop politics around the moral code in our community. We develop politics around how do we feed members of our community? How do we take care of the elderly? How do we buy houses? How do we set up these institutions? So we bought a community center so that it can be a resource center for our people. We have programs in there. We have an unsung hero where we teach the youth in the community about people that they might have never heard about. We have a scholarship. We have a program where we giving material and things away to women that have babies, women that are pregnant, women that need help in our community. All our programs are designed to help get our community into a certain or better position and condition in society. With saying that, that means that we are the political arm of our people. Whenever black people need help, they go to all these foreign institutions, and we seem to get help last. Even in the hospitals, black women are dying. New African women are dying at a high rate after having children because of neglect. They neglect our women. They think we don't feel pain, this, that, and the other. So we just come up with a political plan and say, okay, if our women are not surviving because they don't know how to take care of them, we're going to have doulas. You know, we're going to have midwives. We're going to have birthing centers. And, of course, they're going to try to go against what we do, but we have to continue to do what we do, and that's what the PPI is. The PPI is the political arm. We're going to say anytime anything happens to a new African, we're going to call it out. If you mistreat a new African in our community, you're going to have to talk to us. Just like all other races do, we're going to do the same thing, and we're going to hold each other accountable. So if anybody inside of the party do anything against the black community or black people, they have to be held accountable too. So that's what we're building. Mm-hmm. It's growing very well, and it's doing nice.
True indeed. I know you mentioned the unsung hero, and I understand it's a program that is a carrying is coming up February 19th. First of all, what exactly is an unsung hero? What exactly does that mean? What exactly does that mean? What's an unsung hero?
So inside of our experience here as African people, we only get taught about the same handful of people over and over and over. And we start to kind of like put our history on the back end because they always started with slavery. So what we have to do is teach our people about people who have really contributed to the upliftment, advancement, liberation, and education of our people. You have to know who you are. You have to know where you come from. You know, you have to have some type of guiding post. So what we do is teach our people about all the people that they may never heard of, and we give all the information, where they from, what they were doing, how they came to this. We collect all the information, and we teach it to the youth, and we teach it to the community members so that everybody can have a proper understanding of who we are and what we must do right now. So that's what the program is designed about or around.
Okay. So is this the first time the program doesn't occur, or this is a continued program that was in the organization?
This is a continued program. I think this is maybe our fourth time doing it. So it's a successful program, and the people really love this program because a lot of people, they want to learn. However, they don't really necessarily want to do the research, you know. So if we can do the research and we can present it to them, they'll come out and learn about these people. And that would be a good guidepost for us to get our people to thinking Afrocentric again.
Okay. It would be good. Probably, you know, y'all been saying that history is the weapon. You know, and when you look at that statement in particular, it could be a weapon used against us, a weapon you use for our liberation. You know, so it's all in the whole, it's all in, it's all the person who wields their particular history and how they utilize it. You know, it can be used for positive or negative. And we don't see it over and over again. Like you were just saying, you know, the program is designed to re-Africanize you, to re-educate you, to reorientate you, to bring you back into a state you would call it Sankofa, you know, to return back to the source, our originality of things, so we can be the greatest version of ourselves, and we actually can see examples around us, and we don't see that type of history that they keep away from us, the obscurity they keep away from us, to keep us blind, deaf, dumb, and blind, and also use that capital, use that some kind of form of human capital, menials, right? So that's all what a beautiful thing.
Indeed.
That's all what a beautiful thing, right? How can people get involved with this event? You know what I'm saying? How can people get involved? When is the event taking place? And where is it taking place at?
The event is taking place on the 19th, correct? If I need to check my sources. But February the 19th is right. At the embassy, 2503 Dawson Street, Columbus, Georgia. At 4, I'm going to check my sources to make sure I'm right, because I don't have it right in front of me. But we want everybody to come. We do have it on our Facebook page, and we do have it on our Instagram page, so you can go right to it and see the date and see the time. I don't have it right in front of me, but you can get involved by just coming out, bringing your niece, nephew, you come out and learn, and then we can start to engage in beautiful dialogue. So the more people that come out and the more people that want to engage in dialogue for the advancement of our people, you know, that's always a beautiful thing. We're right in the community, so, you know, you can come and engage with us. And then, like, we are out in California somewhere or out in Dominican Republic. We write it in our community. So, you know, if you're in Georgia or if you're in Columbus, Georgia at any time, you can stop by the embassy for any program that we're doing. And we'll love to have you.
Okay. You mentioned the embassy. What exactly is the embassy? What exactly is that?
The embassy is our community center that we purchased for the advancement of our people. So the name, the embassy, is political. We're a political organization. When you look at an embassy all across the world, an embassy is a safe place for citizens of whatever country. So if you're from the United States has an embassy in a different country. If you go to that country and you're being mistreated or whatever, you can go to that embassy, and it's like you at home. You're in a safe place. And that's what we want to have for our people. We want to have our community center be a safe place for new Africans. We want our people to know that this is for you. Whenever you need help, whenever you're in trouble, come to the embassy. Call the party. Let's sit down and see how we can help each other, because no one in our community is supposed to be struggling. You know, if you don't have a job, we can teach you a trade. If you don't want to work with your hands, we can send you to school, because we have comrades that are scholarship coaches. We got comrades that are doulas. We got comrades that are very resourceful. So we shouldn't have no worries inside of our community. Just we all have to come together and really have a beautiful dialogue to really see what ills are affecting us.
True indeed, man. It's always good to inform and educate people, you know what I'm saying, especially the ones who are dissatisfied, and give them something that they can build on, or something that can be beneficial to them in the long run. But it's always a good thing. It's always a good thing.
So, yeah. The Unsung Heroes is February the 19th at 3, you know. So I got the information. It's February 19th at 3 at the embassy, 2503 Dawson Street, Columbus, Georgia. So if you're in the area, come by, you know, check us out. We're going to look at live streaming as well. So check us out on Facebook and or Instagram, February the 19th at 3.
What other events are going on that people can look forward to participate? What else is going on? What kind of events or programs that are going on so people can look forward to?
Okay, so we have the unsung hero. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, go ahead. No, I'm saying, go ahead.
Okay, so we have the unsung heroes coming up February the 19th. Okay, yep. And then coming on April the 1st, we have our first co-ed community baby shower. It takes a village to raise a child. So what we're doing, like I was telling you, coming together and all the women who need or who are in need, a lot of the material or resources that they would need to help them in that situation if they don't have. After that, April the 15th, we have an event called Revolutions for Solutions. So Revolutions for Solutions is an event that was set up off of our campaign, Unite to Fight. So we've been pushing Unite to Fight, raising money so that we could invest into these five institutions that I explained to you earlier. And off of that, we just have one centralized event every year. We haven't done it the last couple of years because of COVID, but before then we did it. And it was a beautiful event, and we say Revolutions for Solutions because, yes, we're revolutionaries. However, a revolution is a circle. So what we do is walk around the track to show unity and also raise money, as much money as we can from the community, tell everybody to come out, walk around the track and show in solidarity to say that, hey, we're going to raise money and come out here and walk for all the things that are affecting our community. We're going to walk and raise money for poverty. We're going to walk and raise money for dilapidated houses in the community. We're going to walk and raise money for people with health issues, people that can't find consistent ways of taking care of themselves. It's on us to take care of our elderly. It's on us to take care of our children. And then for, like I always tell the comrades, teenagers are terrorizing our community. So some men have to step up. But we can't send the men in there without training. So it's a lot to do, and that's why we have that event, so that we can raise money to be able to do these things and so that we can shine awareness on the black community to say no matter who is doing anything to us, whether it's us doing it to each other or anybody foreigners doing it to us, we are going to say, hey, no, we're going to put a stop to that. We don't need thousands of black people dying or thousands of new Africans dying every year. It just is not conducive to where we want to be or what we want to do. So we have that event to make sure that we can just shine the light on that. And that's April the 15th. In May, we give away a scholarship. So in May, we're giving away a scholarship for a student inside of our community that's going to a HBCU. We want them to go outside of the community to experience different cultures, to experience different people, to pick up trades and know different information to bring back to the community so that we could build it up. That's what every other race has done, and that's what every other race is doing. People from Turkey and Iran, they come over here and go to our universities and go back home to build up their community. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So we're giving a scholarship to our people and our students in our community so that they have the opportunity to leave and see something different, so that they can come back and say, hey, everybody in the world ain't like Columbus, Georgia. We can really change the narrative. We can really change our position and condition in society. So this is what we got coming up, those three or four programs coming up from now until May. And we hope we can get a lot of support from the people for the Unite to Fight campaign so that we can buy more and more institutions, more and more homes, just so we can start to really show a real change in our community. It's on us. That's why I say we the political party. But, the government taxes its citizens. We're not in a position to tax, so we have to take donations. We just hope that all New Africans take it serious and really donate to what we got going on, so that we can really be a force in the change in the world.
Okay. So, yes, sir. That's a beautiful thing, man. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. You know what I'm saying? If people wanted to invest their time or their energy or their resources, how would they go by doing so? if somebody was wanting to volunteer, because can people from the community volunteer if they wanted to, or how would they go about the process of doing that?
We're always looking for volunteers. Reach out to us on one of our pages or one of the Conrads personally, so that we can have a dialogue with you, let you know what we're doing, see if you're interested in really volunteering, or if it's just a burst of emotions for that point. You know, we have emotional bursts, and you think we want something, but when it comes down to doing the work, we kind of stray away from it, you know. So we want to make sure we kind of talk with you and see if this is what you really want. And then we let you volunteer at a lot of our programs. We walk in the community every week. So every week we're in the community, we'll be giving out flyers and for our programs, flyers just for in general. We have a PID guide, the police interaction guide. Our people don't know how to interact with the police, so we give them a guide to interact with the police. We have a gun laws and information. Our people tote guns, but they don't know the laws and all that around it, so we just give it to them. Arm yourself with the information, you know, so you can come out and help us and just be in the community. We pick up trash. We look in the whole community meetings in that community that we just got to, because we've done it before. But we want to see if the platform that we have and the replica that we have, if it can stand true and in the community that we go to. And so far, it's been working. It's been working. So, you know, you can volunteer. Hit us up on any social media platform that you may see us, or hit us directly when you see the Conrads out.
True indeed. You mentioned Conrad. What exactly is a Conrad? You know, what does that mean?
Okay, and like we tell our Conrads, especially newer Conrads that come into the party, Brother Amir Cockerbrawl, in reading some of his books, I came across a piece in one of his books, and he was like, I call my comrades, because we have made a conscious decision to really fight and struggle for something. My brother and my sister is my brother and my sister by accident. I didn't choose them. They kind of just happened to be my brother and sister. But me and my comrades chose this life. Me and my comrades chose what we want to do, and we're going to fight, struggle, die, live, and all that for each other. We won't falter beside no comrades. We ain't going to start no strife with no comrades. We ain't going to go behind each other's back, because we made a decision to live, die, and struggle and move forward with each other. And that's why we call each other comrades, because we're in it for life, and we know we got to make it to the end. The race ain't won by the fast and the swift, but to those who can endure to the end. And me and my comrades looking to make it to the end.
True indeed. The title "Only the People Are for Independence." What exactly is the meaning of independence to the party? What does the independence mean? How you break that down to the people? What is independence?
We break it down
like
this.
What it is.
Independence is free to land. Malcolm said the basis of independence is land. We need land to be free. But like I tell my comrades, it's not so much about independence. Independence means you don't need nobody for nothing, and we're not in that position. We are looking to be interdependent, right? Well, we don't have to really be dependent on somebody, because we got our own. But let's say Haiti makes something that we can trade with them. Jamaica got something we can trade with them. Ghana got something we can trade with them, Nigeria, whatever. We just start trading with all the different African, New African, Caribbean. We trade with everybody and be interdependent. And we all depend on each other. And I think that would raise our position and condition in the world as African people all around, because we have a beautiful network of just depending on each other. And I think, man, that'll be very beautiful. So that's what independence means to us. We're going to get us some land, be able to implement our government, our morals, our way of life. You know, that's why I say it's the people's part, because we're for the people. right? But our people have to have a moral code. Our people have to have a way of living, a culture, and we have to make sure that we're teaching and implementing and pushing that culture so that everybody has an understanding, and then we can be interdependent. People in Jamaica have a culture. People in the Bahamas have a culture. New Africans have a culture, too. We just have to embrace it and then give it to the world. Our problem is everybody else capitalizes off our culture. The Kardashians getting paid off the braids and the hair and the lips. Our women been doing that. You know, everybody's going to capitalize off our culture. And LeBron James broke the scoring record. Guess what? All them white boys getting paid off of LeBron James. That's what they do. But we just do it out of the love for doing it. Everybody else do it for a monetary value. So we have to get them off our back, and we start making money off of just what we love to do. So if you love to cook, sister, brother, cook all day and sell your food. If you like to sing, sing all day and get paid for singing. You get paid for it. Don't let nobody else get paid off you. And if you do, make it an interdependent relationship where y'all depend on each other. And I think that's when we can change our position and conditioning the whole world as African people.
True, indeed. You know, that's actually what independence is for real, and all that's rather, because when you think about it, when you look at the new independent movement, you know, from the beginning of it, from the beginning of when they had the 2-day convention, they actually endowed individuals with positions as ambassadors, and these ambassadors were people that the actual communicating with other Africans all over the world, some in Africa, some in the Caribbean, other places, right? They would communicate with these people and having their relationship with them. So they would have a relationship with the government in regards to, like you said, trading, information. There's various means to form that particular line, that particular relationship that's needed for us to be independent on each other and actually build that thing up, you know, in regard to what we're seeing. Because at that time, during 68, a lot of places in Africa were already gained their independence. And other places, as well as in the Caribbean, had gained their independence already. So those were just examples for what we were trying to do in regards to who we are as a nation of you African people. And those people were the same African people that exist in our bloodlines as well, but we happen to be at a whole different locale, just where they are, right? So the intermingling, right, and interconnection, interconversation is always needed in regards to particular progress. And also, when you look at it realistically, like if we're talking about independence, we're going to have somebody that vaults for us that's already a nation, you know, to vaults for us, you know what I'm saying, as well as assist us in things that we need so we can fight and become an independent nation. You know, so it's always those relationships, you know what I'm saying, foreign and domestic, that we need to lift ourselves, right? You know,
yes,
that's just a beautiful thing always, you know. It's always a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
It's always a beautiful thing, man. You know, it just so much going on in the world like hell, man. You know, people following trends, and, you know, people following what's popular, you know. But then you look at our conditions, that we all suffer some of the same conditions nationally and globally, right? We suffer from poverty, miseducation, poor housing, mass incarceration, the criminal mentality. You know, then right now, for real, you know, we're suffering a lot of our people being kidnapped and, you know what I'm saying, snatched up and trafficked, and a lot of young people are on drugs, and just various things that are occurring, right? You know, it's just so much going on, man. You know, what do you think some of the solutions to some of these problems going on, you know, in the community? What do you think some of the things need to be done from your perspective and your experiences?
I always, when I talk to the comrades, first thing first, we have to have a knowledge of self. If you don't know who you are, you don't know where you're going, why you're going, how you're going, what you need to go for. So it starts with the individual and getting the individual together, right? So you know you're not a sheep, you're a lion. But you have to teach a lion how to be a lion. You have to roar and move a certain way. You have to hunt a certain way, so you have to be amongst other lions. That's one. And then once you get yourself together, you have to, like, find work, especially for men. So first thing first, for a man, before you get a woman, you have to get work to be able to take care of yourself, you know. And if you can't provide, like, you can't be an entrepreneur right out front, you know, it's okay to go and get a job to provide for yourself and put yourself in a position where you can get a home or you can get your license and get a car and be able to maintain that. And once you're able to maintain that and keep yourself organized, then we find suitable women you have to date, not just have sex. You have to date, you know, and get to know people and learn people's minds and really have fun and travel and do different things so that you know how people respond to different situations. And once that comes together and we can build healthy families, y'all come together, you get married, you have children, and now we're in a position where we have two-parent households where the man can take care of himself and the woman and the child. You know, now the woman can also have a job or not. Either way, however your system goes, just develop a system around what works for you. It's not just one way of doing things. I'm just giving you a kind of, you know, an overview. And once that family is there, now we can start connecting different families. This is how Garvin and Elijah Muhammad were so successful. They were so successful because it was families. The Panthers were so successful because it was families donating to the cause. So once we have a lot of different families in the community that come together, and then we can start having community meetings, keep our community safe, clean, and organized, start to own, operate, and control our community, make it so Afrocentric that when they come over there, we ain't even talking English no more. You know, we got a whole nother China. They ain't got no English signs up. Everything is in Chinese. You go to the Koreatown, everything is Korean. So why when you come to Little Africa or you come to John Henry Clark Town, you need to understand that it's going to be something different. So, you know, and once we do that, I think we'll be able to take care of each other then, because the communities have to take care of each other. Not just, I was saying it takes a village. So what does our village look like? And that's how I think it'll work.
True indeed. What exactly is Dr. John Clark Town? You just said Dr. John Clark Town. What is that? The people who don't know.
Okay. That's a certified district in the Republic of New Africa. Columbus, Georgia is what it would be called in America. But in the Republic, it's called Dr. John Henry Clark Town. And it's a certified district. And we're doing our work here on behalf of the nation and for the people. So, you know, whatever we can do to help, we down to travel. We down to invite people in. You know, we have a facility where we can do programs. We can talk, dialogue over the phone. We just need to see how we can get it together, people. That's it.
True indeed. That's a beautiful thing. I understand that everybody in the PPI is a part of the Kevlon family, right? What does this family thing mean to everybody in the part? What does it mean to be in a family? What does that mean? You know what I'm saying? What does that actually look like? You know? Why is everybody referred to as a family?
And so, in being New African, it's a lot of us that experience poverty or come from a situation, we come from broken homes. We come from not really knowing how to cultivate relationships. So after we become adults, either two things fit in, anxiety or depression. You either got to get somewhere fast and you ain't getting up fast enough, or you're thinking about the glory days and it's like, man, I wish I can like be at that level again. So what we do is bring our comrades in and let them know, hey, wherever you at and whatever you're doing, it's okay, because you can get better every day. But we're here for you. You're Michael Jackson said, you are not alone. You're not alone. We are here. We are family. So, comrades, we made a conscious decision to do this. So when you come to us and make that conscious decision and say, I'm going to live for the people. I'm going to struggle for the people. I'm going to die for the people. I'm going to live for the people. All right? Now you're my family. more than a brother, more than a sister, you my comrade. You know? And that's why we are family. My name is Ataja Jashiri at Kabalon. I'm a part of a family. And we need to start creating tribes, and we need to start having legacies on how to get to know each other. Every tribe is not going to have the same culture, but it's okay for us to respect each other, learn from each other, grow from each other, because that's how families come together. Because my son might mate with a young sister from another tribe. Now we got two tribes together, experiencing two cultures and growing and messing it, and that's what it's supposed to be about. So that's indeed why we got a family.
True indeed. I'm about to open Comrade Rafiki line right quick and see if he got anything he want to say, any question, anything. Jumbo Conrad, your line is open.
Hey, it's a Jumbo. I didn't have anything I wanted to say in particular, man. I'm glad to hear the conversation, especially about, you know, building relationships, building tribe, and building family, you know. So, you know, everything is definitely on point, and this is something that's somewhat missed amongst individuals. Individuals might have some type of knowledge and regurgitate things, but the actual practice and then being able to manifest, you know, healthy relationships, healthy family, that's something altogether different. So definitely I appreciate this conversation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, you have anything to say about it, Conrad Todway?
Yes, sir, brother. Most definitely. It's more conversation needs to be had. I definitely appreciate being on the platform. We spend so much money on so much other things. I think if we can just direct our money, man, and just put it towards tangible things that we can really touch and hold. Everybody else invests into their communities. Our families and tribes need to invest into ours. And we won't even have to worry about the government. Like Michael said, it ain't our government. It's the government.
True indeed. You know, just by looking at the dynamics, you know, which is really real, man, especially psychologically, you know, we have been damaged so much psychologically, you know, a lot of our home been broken up because of different things that have occurred, and we've been taught to hate each other, and we got a mentality that once you get something, you got to step on everybody's head, or, you know, you got to be a snake, you got to be a slime, whatever you want to refer to it as, right? You know, we got a lot of repairing to be doing in regards to a lot of things that we got going on in regards to our situations, man. You know, so we really messed up in a lot of ways, right? All over the board, man.
Brother Rap Brown say, America, it pushes competitive individualism. And that's what our people pick up. But black, new African people have no time to be individuals. You know, we can't afford to be individuals. Not at this time, not at this state, not in this year. We just can't do it. So whenever somebody come up, we need to create programs where other people can work in a certain capacity so that our team can develop over time. And then we'll be able to be producers instead of just being consumers.
True indeed. So, in regards to that, you know, how important is it for us, for all new Africans, to have something of service to offer? How important is that for sales on the service? How important is that? Or how significant is it, brother?
It's imperative. I have a construction company, right? And when I built it saying, after I read George Jackson's book, Conrad George said, it ain't capitalism that's beating us. It's monopolized capitalism that's beating us. And the monopolized capitalism is, if it's 10 people and 10 cows, if one person has enough money to buy all 10 cows, That means the other nine people got to come to him for the meat, the cheese, the milk, whatever. And we don't believe in that as a people. Even when we're in poverty, we have one piece of bread and we share it with our brother. That's just what we do. We don't, you know, as a people, we don't do that. So we need to come back and say, hey, man, no matter what other races are doing, what do new Africans do? What's our culture? How do we go about handling business? How do we educate ourselves? Because everybody has to get off the plantation. That's what I call it. We don't want to continue working for these people. We don't like how they treat us. We don't like how they – we so love don't like how they be on our women, you know? I told my wife, sir, we can't go to the plantation. She got to work. Hey, I got a business. You either work with me or just don't work at all. I don't need all these guys hitting on you. I don't need you to try to get a raise and the white man feeling on your leg. I don't want all that. So we as a nation needs to learn how we can monopolize something. And we can monopolize what we already been doing. We built a nation. So let's build our nation but get paid for building our nation. Everybody get a trade or skill set and they go to work.
True indeed. True indeed. You know, hold up. I think Conrad Freedom want to get in real quick. I'm going to open the line up real quick. I think this is Conrad Freedom. Conrad Freedom, that's you, Conrad.
Hey, right on. Yes, sir. Peace.
Oh,
peace, Jumbo.
Okay. Jumbo, go ahead, Conrad. Go ahead.
I came in late, bro. So yeah, I'm just pretty much just coming on the back end of what you've been saying, but I definitely – I'm glad to hear you speak again. I know because you spoke before, and I thought you touched on a lot of great things that we should all be aware of. And when you're talking about right now, you know, getting tribes together, taking the time. In fact, you articulated how we should take our time to get the date and get into relationships and get married, and so we can have a double parent families again. And that's a critical piece that you can touch on. You rarely hear people talk about that nowadays. Everybody doing their own thing. And then you just quoted Kwame Ture, I think you just said, competitive individualism. And,
Rap Brown.
Hey, Rap Brown, okay, yeah. So we're dealing with a lot of psychological things that have been thrust upon us just by living in this colonial society. And I think it's important to point out how detrimental it is to our people in general, especially our children, because they grow up, you know, they pick up every damn thing we say and do. And most importantly, they pick up our habits and our mannerisms. And so if we're talking about Gucci and Fendi and Prada, well, I don't even know the names of these European wealthy designers, you know.
Right.
That keep pushing the stuff through our celebrities, through black celebrities, pushing on these children. They pick that stuff up, and they think that's where they get their self-esteem and their pride. Well, you said it right, bro. When we know ourselves, know who we are, where we came from, you get that power just by knowing who you are. You know, you're African self.
Yep.
But it's a battle getting at these celebrity cultural black folks, and it's a battle we're up for. I'm not speaking that from a defeatist mentality at all. Hey, trust me. But I'm just pointing that out just to real quick say you touched on so many things that I wanted to preach on. Like, I'm playing this Christian preacher right now. Like, I'm not really that. I'm just trying to play in terms of trying to help some Christians, you know, some black Christians tired of them getting the bad rap and dogged out by knowledgeable Africans in all spaces, whether it be the Islam, whether it be the Kemetic black folks, you know, going on Christian people because of the ignorance a lot of times and because of their religion in general. The only way for us to come together is to try to help, you know, each person, each group of us come together to see the unity we need to have. And we don't have to dismiss Christians because of their religion, because their religion actually points to what you were just talking about. They just don't see that because they learned it from a lot of our parents and grandparents learned Christianity from the slave masters, so they don't see what's in their own religion. They're blinded to the revolutionary concepts that are, for example, you look at the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, you look at that particular piece, it says that they sold everything they had and took the resources and proceeds and distributed it to everybody so that everybody had everything equal. That's the first example of communism and the highest example of communism you can pull out the scriptures in a Christian religion. Of course, they're not going to see that. I'm jumping through it a little bit right now, but I'm just telling you that you're touching on that. And that's why I wanted to tap in real quick, because I knew you was going to do your thing. I didn't even hear the whole show. I know you did your thing. But these are concepts that are New African, that are higher than socialism, and they're right there in the Bible. The day that the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, Pentecost means 50. This is the 50th year of the birth of hip-hop. Hip-hop has some things that have contributed to us in bringing us into a unity of a culture. Of course, Europeans weaponized that, just like they weaponized the Bible and Christianity. So we're dealing with a lot here at this time of year, and especially right now, this year itself is an opportunity for us to build. You're talking about the embassy and stuff in Columbus. These are the things that this year and the energy that's out here now is speaking to us to do. We've been talking about this for years, actually, but for months strongly. Building our own institutions independent of the government, independent of the system, because raw materials and supplies, everything we need is in the earth, and we have our hands on a lot of this stuff that we can move on to, and we need to get that message to the generations behind us right now. And I know I'm preaching. Like I said, I'm trying to be a preacher right now. And I appreciate you taking the time
good.
To hear me.
It sounds good, bro.
Right on. Amen.
But hallelujah.
Rabbi, I mean, I'm telling you, bro. Yes, sir. You're giving me some inspiration, too. So I got more to say on the, in my sermon later on. But thank you, bro. Thank you. Asante for what you're doing.
Yes, sir. Thank you, bro.
No doubt. Okay. You know, this time I want to open a line for a call if anybody got anything to say or comment or expression or thought. Press 1 to open your line up. You got anything to say at this time, press 1 to open your line up. You know, shared a lot there, brother. Todd, do you have anything, you got a response to what Comrade Freedom was talking about? You got a response to that? Or you got anything you want to add to that?
Yes, brother. Just like you were saying, I be telling my comrades that even in Christianity, right, it's not even, Jesus didn't even talk about a religion. He was like, repent. Re means to go back. Pent is to think. Go back, change your way of thinking. The kingdom has arrived. And the kingdom is political. So I started studying kingdoms, and I was like, dang, Jesus was talking some mad crap to these folks, to white folks. He was talking to the white folks, actually. And they didn't like him. You know what I'm saying? And he was so-called Jew, so the Jews couldn't kill him. So they took him to the Romans, and the Romans couldn't kill him because he ain't do nothing wrong. And then they were like, well, he said he the king. And Jesus was like, I am the king, so what's up? They killed him. And I was like, all right, then what's up? I can get into some political arena. Because I asked my comrade a question. I said, comrade, when we was at our height, what was our political system? And it was a kingdom. I was like, so why did we stray away from that? And it's because when white people started having kingdoms, their kings were so unjust. They were having sex with folk wives, having sex with little boys, infiltrating everything. Don't nobody want to be up under that. So they were like, hey.
They're still doing that now.
You know, it's for the people. We're going to have a republic. So that's what they're trying to do, a republic for the people. But I think for our people, we need order, discipline, and the kingdom is what Jesus was talking about, and we need to get more back into kingdom lifestyle. So I always tell my comrades, I'm a kingdom citizen. So I'm with you, brother. I'm with you.
Right on, right on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, you said it well, bro. Thank you. Because I'm into that. I was just thinking about that kingdom piece. You know, when the scripture is so powerful, and I really don't know why revolutionaries don't take it and use it as a tool to reverse what the European did during slavery, We have the capacity to do it. We have the tools to study and know to interpret and define Greek information and Hebrew information. But anyway, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, it's saying, Rinoko Shidi said that ancient Tibetans, Africans, used to celebrate, you know, for months. They may have some kind of high celebration for months. They had the best parties the world has ever seen. And I watched.
And then we didn't work.
Spread. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We only work a certain amount of time out the year.
There it is, bro. The land was plentiful, so on and so forth. And we're watching some great things, right? We see what they had. They built the pyramids, so on and so forth. Fruits and vegetables on fleek. Everything top, raw, non-GMO. All this stuff we had, right? We still have in Africa today, but I'm just using an example of Egypt to show how we were party people. And then here you got somebody like Jay-Z going to do a Grammy performance and try to simulate that, talking about God being. And I'm using this as an example to demonstrate what he is doing with his billionaire class self, not including the working class black folk in Brooklyn or anywhere else where he came from at that table. At that banquet table, inviting who? Hip hop and all the rich black folks to that table. That would never be tolerated in an African situation, in African culture. That celebration, that party, where the fruits and the spread is laid out, the vegetables and everything, is for the community.
Yes, sir.
To bring even, bro. Look, let me stop here because I'm in preaching mode. Let me go ahead and let you finish. Go ahead. Thank you for letting me speak, bro. Yes, sir.
All right, Pastor. Pastor Freedom.
Reverend Revolutionary. Yes, sir. Thank you, bro. I appreciate you, man.
You know, one thing I want to say about that, man, you know, historically, right, Christianity has all been utilized as a revolutionary piece, a revolutionary principle to interpret our way, such as Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman. You know, they use it as an example. Mar Delaney used it as an example. Even Garvey used it as an example. And then if you look at the 60s, during the time of the 60s and the 50s, right, the quote-unquote New African church was a place for people to organize, a place for people to have African school, a place for people to teach different trades and to learn about guns, just security, different. It was used for different aspects, right? And if you look at it from that perspective now, you have certain got them new African churches that have certain community services, they have certain history programs, they have certain things like that. But now it's more like the church has been infiltrated due to the fact that a lot of the funds coming from the oppressor and the state, so it limits to what they can do and what they're willing to do, right? You know, in regards to a lot of different things, but because of their legal status, you know. But it always have been an institution where we can build from or utilize, right? You know, and like you said, the time had changed, so now it's coming a time that we need to tap into some of these resources and get these resources to work for us, you know. Let her use the church to have a history program. Let her use the church for unsung hero. Let her use the church for a emergency preparedness seminar. Let her use the church for out of school program. Let her use the church for these different things that y'all see y'all for the community, what y'all doing in the community, and let it be a revolutionary thing. You know, the ultimate Jesus is a revolutionary. He kind of changed. He came to bring justice and law and fulfill the commandments and everything, all those other stuff they be talking about, right? What turned into a revolutionary situation? You know, they're going to do the work for real. You know, in reality, you know.
All right, show yourself approved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, boy.
You got anything to say, Rafiki? Hold up.
Oh, man, I have a lot, man. It's so much said, and it's kind of hard to narrow things down. But just when I was thinking, and this was even before we started talking about church and that was part the dynamic that you see out in the world today and conflicts going on, let's say different countries. One conflict that goes on, you can see it repeatedly different places, and you can see it in the books when people comment on war, is the state and this idea of the state, and almost how we see it here, they make it seem it's so much of a necessity. But if you were to go in Africa, go Turkey, different places, you would see, okay, there'd be an urban setting, and you would see the state there. But then you will also, if you go outside the state, you will see more tribes, more clan, things of that nature. And they're functioning just fine. But what happens is the thing that states do just in general, they merge into their territory, or they try to do something, and most of the fighting, and this is, there was a General Petraeus made a book, right? American General, he said, a lot of times where these wars happen is because the state intrudes upon the people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they intrude upon the people, yeah. And people fight them. But hey, you messing with our way of life. You're messing with our system. So, you know, these social systems, they've been around for centuries. They've been around for a long time. And the government comes in and they make people think, like here, I think people, it's just a colonial thing. And the way our education is that you need the state. And people would think that the state just been here all the time, which is not true. So that was one aspect looking at and how it affects our community. You know, even if we look in America today, with most people, you just go back three generations, our families were more together. The families were bigger. You know what I mean? They looked after each other. They really didn't need, they had their own community. They didn't really need outside assistance. Now, bring it today, three generations later, families are ripped apart.
Yep.
If you see the culture now, if something happens, people are like, hey, why don't you go to the state? Why don't you, you know, get the check? Why don't you do this and that? And when it comes to anything, if anybody's down and out, they're like, hey, you need to go out and fill this form out, do this third, instead of people really dealing with the situation on a personal level. That's why when certain things go on or when pigs get out of hand, you see people with their phones up with a camera, and they're not doing that. They're waiting, trying to look to call somebody instead of handling it on their own. So that's just, you know, one thing that I was that's been going on in my mind as far as this conversation is just that dynamic there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, I appreciate that, Rafiq. We have a caller, man. I'm going to open the caller line. We have a caller, 901-292. Yeah, any question, comment, or statement now, please do so at the time. 901-292, your line is open. Go ahead.
Good evening and free the land, comrade brothers.
Body mean this, sir.
Okay, this is Mama Io. It's been a pleasure listening to you, everyone, tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Brother Bomani, who else is on the line besides Brother Rob Siki and Brother Freedom and yourself?
The guest, Brother Atajwe from the PPI.
Oh, okay. Okay, free the land, comrade, brother.
Bind me in this, sisters.
As I said, I was enjoying everyone tonight. I mean, that is, for me, I'm talking about me, Mama Io, that is the kind of talk that we need to have among comrades, because what you all were displaying tonight showed that, you know, same thought, same mission, at the end of the day. We've declared ourselves who and what we want to be here in America. our ultimate goal, if we are part, if you and I, and we are a part of the new African independence movement, is to free the land. Everything that you all were speaking about speaks to building the land and being on the land and having family and working on ourselves and making sure that we're part of the spirituality, because that is what our first line of the creed is. We believe in the spirituality, humanity, and genius of Black people, and you brothers are speaking to it. I'm just like, yeah. Our challenge is to make sure that our people have the same mission, that we want to build, that we deserve to build, that we have the right to build, and that we have all of our beautiful formations that need to talk, have that serious talk, to plan and to build together, to know that we're coming together to build New Africa. We're coming together to step into the world arena, and that takes that work, as you brothers were talking about, working on ourselves, being community. We talk about it in the Ministry of Health and Society that we cannot have a nation without family. A family is made up of man, woman, and child in its various forms. Blended family, whatever you're talking about, and everything that you speak to, brothers, is just, it's just really, you know, making my heart like, okay, more and more, more and more and more. We're coming and seeing, and actually we're finding out that a lot of people are speaking the same language. Work on yourself, heal your hurts, get rid of those characteristics that are not a part of the collective group character. You know, be guided by your spirituality. Make sure that you understand that you have guardian energies, you have ancestors and ancestors and ancestors that are here to help you walk your path and to lead us to redemption. And you live by the laws of man and be in unity with the earth. That's all we're asking for, is it not, brother? Is that not what we're asking for? To build our heaven here on earth?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I mean,
We call our new Africa.
Absolutely,
because we have everything we need to build our nation. If you look at our history right after emancipation and they say, okay, get off the land, go where you want to go. Within 6 months, we were literally manifesting our own township, and we had everything we needed. From the carpenter to the plumber to the midwife to the policeman, everything. And that's why we were attacked again, because we built that nation. Of course we're going to have everything that we need. And we have everything we need right now. We building somebody else's nation instead of our own, brothers. Is that not correct?
This is true.
Yeah.
So we're asking New Africans, how do we build family, community, nation, and race? Those of us that say that we want to build, we get into our collective, we do our study, we do the work on ourselves, build our family, know that the children can look at all of us as mothers and fathers and protectors and defenders, and we're gonna purge from the molestation and the rapes. We're going to purge all of that, because When you come together in a collective, you work on each other, you build family and loyalty and trust, and you begin to make and create clans upon clans. And we can't do that because the family has been broken, and the women have been left defenseless in our defense. We are defending, and yet we are defenseless, if you understand what I mean.
Yes, ma'am.
What exactly your thoughts in regards to what she said, Atajwe? Yeah, Rafiki and freedom come in too as well, and freedom. What are your thoughts?
I'm right on board with what she was saying. Like I was saying earlier, you know, in order for us to do what we need to do, we have to have a foundation. You cannot build without a foundation. And some people build houses, but it be on sand. And when the wind blow, it just crumbles. It's going to take us a little bit more time. It's going to take us a little bit more resources. We have to dig a little deeper, and that's fine. I agree with everything the sister was saying, even on a spiritual level. I should say we're building the kingdom here. I would tell my comrade, when the disciple asked Jesus how to pray, Jesus said this: Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth like it is in heaven. That ain't nothing but colonization. God don't want you in heaven. God wants you to be in heaven on earth like it is in heaven. So New Africa is our heaven. Whatever we think heaven looks like, we build it on earth right now. And that we're supposed to be doing. So I'm with the sister.
Okay.
I'm with
both of y'all.
Go ahead.
Who's that?
The Bumani. I only thing I wanted to say is that, you know, I'm listening to what everybody's saying, right? You know, and our greater asset that God would realize is the people, man. It's the New African people. That's our greater resource, man. You know, from the talent, the skills, the trades, the mind states, the potential, the work ethic, and so forth and so on, right? Those are our greater resources. If we don't give or get the unity that we need, you know what I'm saying, doing like which Garvey expressed, you know, that made him a real threat when he was building his provision of government, you know, then we really messed up if we don't get that unity, man. So that's what we're doing right now. We fighting and striving for the people's minds. We propagate. We control the narrative. We control the perspective. We inform people. We educate people. We stimulate their mind states, you know. So when people listen to this in the future, in the present future, it's going to make people think. You know, so our thing is to make people think. And once people start thinking, people start thinking properly, they then go to what kind of action can be taken after they don't thought about it. Now they got a plan of action. Now they want to do certain things. And that's what we're doing, sparking that form of consciousness up as much as possible, you know, reaching out to the people. Like, you know, that's what we're doing.
Like the brother said earlier about Kwame Ture. Kwame Ture said the revolutionary job is to make the unconscious conscious of their unconscious behavior. That's a motto that we have in the PPI. Our job is to make unconscious brothers and sisters conscious of just what they're doing. And then once that happens, I think, Bumani, what you're saying, we can get the unity. Our people unconsciously spending trillions of dollars with people who don't like them. That's an unconscious act, bro. You know, so we have to get the unconscious to be conscious of their unconscious decisions and bring it back. So I'm right on with what you're saying, Conrad, for sure.
I'm right with y'all.
Go ahead, Freedom. Go ahead, Freedom. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, man. Y'all know you speak. Go ahead.
Hey, look here. I'm so happy to hear. This is a spiritual thing. I heard President Samaat say, this is why, and Mama Ayo, what she was talking about just now, these sisters are putting it down in a spiritual way. I don't know if you recognize it sometimes. I think we here do, but a lot of times the collective doesn't see spirituality in revolutionary New African thought. We don't try to always see that this was something African in general. Like Africa, what spirit wasn't in no church. It was never limited, never contained or confined to the walls of a church. Spirituality has been co-opted in that respect by Europeans long ago, by the Roman Empire, for the purpose of controlling and colonizing and enslaving the masses. But here we are. Some of y'all don't even know. You spoke just now things that I've been writing and speaking and recording all day and today for the last few days. There's no way that can happen without this being a spiritual thing. And Salamat said, this is spiritual. She was clear. I was like, whoa, that's a powerful statement that it takes some time, it takes some cleansing, eating right, some study to really open up the consciousness to see the spirituality in everything y'all that we are saying and doing and trying to accomplish. In fact, let me say this and shut up. What we're trying to accomplish is the kingdom of heaven on earth that will be a peaceful kingdom that has the community safe and sound away from this capitalist, imperialist, wicked, system that we currently die in. That's what we're mostly doing, is dying in this system. And we're the ones who are bringing that. We don't have, again, we don't have to be in no church. Except I want to get down with the revolution. But we don't have to be in no church to say that we're bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. Then somebody might say, oh, you sound like, you sound sacrilegious, whatever, whatever. But no, we're not. Because there wasn't no church when it was set in the first place. When Jesus was saying how to pray, there was no church. And there was no Bible.
Right.
It was raw God, raw spirituality. So I'm done.
You're right.
Y'all just make me happy tonight, bro.
And it's better, and according to the creed, better than man has ever known. According to our creed, better than man has ever known. So you brothers are like, if you know, one thing that I'm learning as we continue to study is that anytime we go into battle, anytime we are going into something that needs to protect and defend us, that's the purpose of the spiritualist, the purpose of the dance, the purpose of our chants and our prayers, because you have anointings as you go into battle. That is that has been since time immemorial. There are talismans and crystals and all kinds of things and chants and prayers and anointings and baths that must be done when we go into battle, and those things have been taken away from our people, but those are our prayers of protection. I don't know who was talking about that the people spent a lot of time celebrating and dancing back in the day. Yes, because everything you know about African spirituality is that when you dance, you pray. So there's prayer for the birth, prayer for your transition into the rites of passage, prayer and dance as you go to harvest, prayer and dance as you marry, prayer and dance as you transition into the other realm. So our people have to understand that when we go in, when we do dance, because the dances that we do today are demonic, when we do dance, we must be in prayer. We must be in release, because dancing is also a release. Our brothers used to be on the dance floor with the sisters together because everybody had that higher vibration, that melanin vibration, and now we're laying against the walls watching the women perform, you know, horrible dances, or you're coming up behind them trying to mate on the dance floor. That's not anointings and prayers and releases, because we're under pressure. You're supposed to be dancing so that you can release, you can regret, you can pray, you can chant. What? That's what we're talking about. Our cultural values being displayed through the music, the dance, the prayer, the dress. Those are the things that as we do better and we learn about ourselves, they will manifest. But right now, since we're in war, how do we come together to create a mean machine that's going to create our music that we need? We need to be hearing. We need to be elevating and not being controlled by somebody else. Those are the institutions that we're calling on all to come and help us build.
True indeed. You know, I want to say something about what all y'all saying, right? When many times we had the term the spirit of resistance, right? We had that term many times, right? But when you think about it, you know, this spirit of resistance is not nothing that necessarily relate to any kind of form of spirituality. It more of an energy that relate to the will and determination of people to be self-determined. You know, like the spirit of resistance. First, they had a spirit of resistance, did the spirit of such and such. You know, when you see them releasing the material, you know, they just remind them, showing you that our people already resisted. It don't matter what we call ourselves. We call ourselves a committee. We call ourselves E5. We call ourselves Yoruba, we call ourselves Muslim. Whatever we have, we show that spirit of resistance in everything that we do, especially when it comes to new African culture, especially kind of new African culture and ideology, right? And we always had some kind of resistance. We don't resist it in various ways. If we call ourselves more signs, whatever we call ourselves, we already resist it, right? We all look for a way to resist being in captivity, resist being in slavery, to resist being hungry, to resist being... not being able to have a place to live at. We always figure out ways and solutions to resist the situation, to resist the system, right? That even if you ran away, if we jumped overboard, even if we went and built, or even if we started rebelling and killed everybody and went and built our own town or nation state, you know, we all find a way to resist. That's our spirit of resistance, you know. Especially when we look at it, like Mama Ayo said, we believe in the spirituality of humanity and the genes of black people, you know. That can mean many different things. Like I'm saying now, the spirit of resistance can mean various things, you know. Even with the aspect of the event of the drum, how the drum is utilized as a symbol of war, as a war token, or the horns, or the trumpet, or whatever we use to bring to symbolize we're going to go to war as a symbol of expression of what's going to go around, what's going to take place, or like the ceremony, like the Haitian did in the Haitian Revolution, did a ceremony. He did a ceremony, the music, the dance, all the things. They got ready after the ceremony. It was time to go to war. Now, we don't put out them positive confirmations, the affirmations. It's time to get the business. Now, let's do it. You know,
I say.
It's just interesting when we look at things, right? When we look at things, especially in the dynamics of being in the empire right now. The dynamics of, you know, it's all our duties. You know, the country we advocate is all our duties as solutionary revolution. It's all our duties to propagate things to the best of our knowledge so that people can think for themselves and come with solutions. It's our duty to be solutions, or to be social society, to be solutionaries already within ourselves, but it's also our duty is to recreate that same system, recreate that same sort of revolution within everybody we meet. You know, if one individual is a cadre and he or she knows it, the aspect of cadre, it's the individual role and purpose to go build that cadre everywhere he or she goes, you know, and that comes with ideology as well, and philosophy, and a political line. You know, we got to do that everywhere we go. You know, that's how we really going to build some things. You know, if we go to different places, we just can't build stationary, not just in our mind. Like we said, Conrad George met Mao Lenin. He was in his mind state. You know, he was in his mind state. He had to travel mentally to get to a better level of understanding so he can know exactly what he needed to do to make things happen, make things feasible. So, no, I'm just listening to the conversation, you know. I'm just, it's all good. It's all good. It seemed to be a much-needed conversation. It seemed to be a much-needed one. That's the way it seemed to me.
And this is Rafiki. Can I make two comments?
Yeah, go ahead, Rafiki.
Yeah, I wanted to comment first on what the sister said earlier about, you know, what are we building, you know, and definitely what everybody said, you know, we trying to build a new African nation, and this is, you know, of course we doing it, but this is for every individual out there. We have to put aside the time to build. It's like anything else we're planning. Even if I'm in the house or wherever I may be, if you don't put aside that time, somebody else is going to use your time. And the state has no problem using us up. That same work you're doing at the plantation, you could be doing that for your nation. So, you know, we always have to put aside that time to do the work. So that's one point. Okay. That's always a struggle, trying to find time. The other point, too, was dealing with this culture. And I think it was Asa Hillary that said that, you know, when we enter these schools, when children enter these schools, it's actually an intellectual gas chamber. You know what I'm saying? And the imagery that we see on TV is the same thing. It just rocks us to sleep. It's miseducation at the highest form. And even when I spoke to my comrades, some of us on the line here, I mentioned that, you know, it's that part where you see a person like Uncle Tom, where in real life he was a freedom fighter, but if you was to watch that old movie that was out in cinema, you wouldn't want to be Uncle Tom. He's just a straight sellout. But that's the projection that they give us on somebody who wasn't like that. So same thing when it comes to religion, Christianity in particular. You know what I mean? When they come across with that picture of Jesus, you know, it just make you want to throw it in fire. You're like, something ain't right about this. And it's also like, this is this is what we've been fighting. So, you know, it's like education, where when you go in there, you hear stuff that you don't like, you don't even want to touch it no more. But the all actuality, when it comes to the Christianity, or when it comes to the Bible, people must know that when it comes to the books there, the books in the canon, that's something that was created in Africa. A man named Athanasius, he's the one that presented the list of books to put in the Bible. When it comes to the Trinity, that comes from Carthage. I can't think of the man's name off the bat, Tertullian. Tertullian is the one that's talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They can understand the concepts of different things coming together and being one. That's Africa. So the intellectual capacity in antiquity was in Africa. And the history goes way, way further back. So it's that same type of imagery, that same projection where when people see that white, blue-eyed Jesus, that's from Renaissance area. Leonardo da Vinci painted The Last Supper. Michelangelo painted the 16th chapter. That's 1500. That's 1,500 years after things happened. So right now we're looking at that colonialized symbol, that colonialized imagery, intellectual state. So that's one of the things we're dealing with now. And it's just, you know, we have to put things in proper perspective. And when we do come across things, we have to look at it as an African. You know, what the Europeans are doing, you know, that's their thing. That's what they're getting, but they're completely messing it. So it's important for us to tell our story. I can keep going, but I'm not going to go off on the tangent.
Okay. We appreciate that, Rafiq. I got a caller in. I'm gonna open the line up, man. 601-345. You have any question, comment, statement? Please do so at the time. 601-345. Your line is open. Go ahead.
To the land. Baba Lucada calling out of Medeiros.
Body me necessary, Baba Lucada.
I'm just curious. You guys, you brothers and sister, with Mama Ayo calling in, your conversation is extremely heavy for some of us who are still brainwashed and still stuck because of cognitive dissonance. How do we convince our people to at least open up their third eye to some of the knowledge that you brothers are dropping so that we can bring higher numbers into the revolutionary New African independence movement? How do we do that?
Okay. Tajway, you go ahead. Answer that, Carver. You can go ahead first. Go ahead, Tajway.
Okay. So what helped me in my transition, like the sister always say, and like the brother, and like you were saying, Bumani, it's a certain spirit that we always are looking for and looking at, right? So as humans, we always feel as if when people die, it's like, what was guiding that? Some type of energy, some type of something was guiding that body, and it went somewhere and is doing something, right? So once you learn who you are, like Bumani said, anytime different people express their energy or their spirit to whatever they want to do, most oftentimes it get done. We need to explain to our people who we are and give it to them from an Afrocentric point of view. That's one of the main things. Our people are very Eurocentric. Very. We have been really indoctrinated by Europeans. Dr. John Henry Clark said, whoever conquered you, you want to be like them the most. You see, so our people, very Eurocentric. We got to get them out of that mindset, take them back to an Afrocentric point of view of looking at the world, looking at everything. And then once they can accept that, then they can accept the stories that we're saying, because if you can't, you won't say, well, Africans were in America before anybody else, and then we start doing things and start inviting other people or mating with other people, whatever. And they'd be like, hold on, Africa was in Africa. You know, but if you start looking at that we were first and we traveled the world, then you can start to have an idea of what we're putting down on the spiritual mindset. So like Bumani said, whatever you identify with, that spirit of what we are putting down, you're going to be able to accept it. That's why it's one light. It's one light that everybody comes from. So that's my point of view of how we can do it, because it always has to be, it's an identity crisis. E.P. Newton said, we fight for the minds of the people. Our people's minds are definitely, it's gone. So we have to narrow in on, hey, this is you. This is what your people do. This is our cultural analysis. This is how we relate to our creator. We were created by something. This is how we relate to it. This is a story about it, right? And this is how you can pull certain wisdom, certain guidance, but you have to be able to look at it from our point of view. If not, then you'll think you cursed. You'll think you know, it's all kind of crazy stuff they come up with. Mud people, stupid stuff. But, you know, that's my take.
I think a couple of ideas can occupy the space at the same time. And I think that's important for us to keep in mind, because if we're going to reach people, it's never been the power of us individually that reaches the people, the masses. It's always been a collective and a spiritual thing. Frantz Fanon would tell us that colonialism is a serious thing, and that in order to escape the mental effects, the psychological effects of social, of colonialism, it takes work. When he was in the Revolutionary War in Algeria, he developed a certain consciousness about colonialism that empowered him to free himself mentally. And then, of course, he was studying psychology and so on and so forth, and reading a lot of different works. So in my opinion, and I don't know any other way, is that I always try to figure out, like, even the culmination that we're, the point that we are now, right now, has been, we've gotten to this point through struggle over the years, conversations, building, organizing, having events, and moving, and just having GJU radio and talking and giving out conversations to allow people the freedom to hear this information, to free themselves from the colonial mindset. We can't force it on them, but if we stop doing what we're doing, for sure, they're not gonna get the message, not as quick. And the last part of my analysis on that question, I believe that there's a creator that is in control, but he controls us, or is in control based on how we submit as individuals. When we get mentally free, when we tap back into who we are and our spirituality, then he uses us because we're willing. Like, ain't nobody, you can imagine if you don't believe in God or not, just imagine if you do believe, if you accept my position that there is a creator, that he ain't going to struggle with nothing he created to make them do what he wants to do. But when you become willing and submit and study and fast and pray and eat right and add all these things to our repertoire, he begins to reveal himself, and we begin to open up to that spiritual path that allows us to impart some knowledge and some light onto the brother on the corner. When you just run by him and talk to him, or you have an interaction with him, or the sister, you know, or the online, when you say something, when you communicate to the Africans that are watching and listening to you but are not responding to you, they want to learn by themselves without you pushing them. Nobody wants to be pushed by another human being that's going through the same experience as them. They want to feel a gentle encouragement. Or this is the reason why preaching is important. I study preaching, and it's not confined, again, to no church. It's preaching is a tool of the Creator. Teaching is a tool of the Creator. Interpreting is a tool of the Creator. being a doula, all these things are part of a whole. And so that's just what I can contribute to the to answer the question, because this is what I've been observing. I have no intellectual property that I've never written no books about it. I'm just telling you from my own experience that I've been observing these things happen over my lifetime. I've been a great observer, although I have a bad memory. But yeah, I hope that helps anyway. You know, I hope that contributes to some way, in some way.
I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering if out of our communal and our social innate attraction to each other, would it be helpful if we encouraged each other to intermingle more with the conscious community? For example, when we have what we hope to be big events that provide education, entertainment, political awareness, would it be helpful if we encouraged our people to come out and be a part of those major or those what we hope to be big events so that they can interact more with conscious community people? For example, we know that New African Nation Day is coming up in South Carolina, March the 31st, April 2nd, April 1st, 2nd, 2nd. So would it be advantageous to encourage individuals to come out and see for themselves the camaraderie, the education, the political awareness of those types of events? Would that help at all?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, go ahead, talk away. Tyler, are you going to answer that?
Ring it by me one more time. My daughter walked in, I had to mute the phone.
Yeah, I was just saying that if we encourage people to exercise their social and communal need to be around others who with like minds, others who are helping them to grow culturally and spiritually and politically. For example, again, the New African Nation Day celebration that's coming up March the 31st, the 1st and the 2nd in South Carolina. Shouldn't we try to encourage as many Africans as possible to come out and mingle with Africans of conscious awareness?
Indeed. Yes, we should get everybody to come. But like I tell my comrade, I say, listen, man, in doing research, when you're looking to invite people to come to you, you do not give them, like, the political side, right? So it's like if I was the Bahamas, right, and I wanted people to come to the Bahamas, I wouldn't present the Bahamas government to the people. I would present beaches and sand and hotels and whatever. That's going to get people to come to the Bahamas to spend money, which is going to help our government. You see what I'm saying? So when we invite our people to come out to us, we can't be like the people that like the Jesus freaks, right? They got Jesus everything, John 3:16. Every time they talk, they don't say nothing but Jesus. You're like, man, I don't want to hear that. Talk normal. Give me something else. You know what I'm saying? So with us, we have to. What are the beaches? What are the hotels? What are the resorts? What would make people want to come to New African Nation Day? What would make people want to be New Africans? What would make people want to move from New York to Mississippi, from Chicago to Atlanta or Georgia, whatever? You know, we have to do a better job at marketing and getting our people to see the beautiful side of what we're doing instead of, like, just the work, you know?
Thank you. That's beautiful. And again, I just think that again, we need to find a way to encourage our people to come out and again, I'm saying to mingle culturally with other people who are who are spiritually and culturally connected, and then through that experience with them coming out to Nation
yep.
Day, that would help them to see the beauty
yep.
of their Africanness. And so that's why I was just, you know, thinking, I know we was talking about, you know, again, we're getting deep into the spirituality and that kind of thing. But again, I'm just thinking if they see it instead of just hearing about it, then that would help to open up their minds and help them to fight the brainwashing that we know that they have, and then a cognitive dissonance that has been ingrained in them. So that's why I wanted to say that, you know, we find a way to encourage people to become active with the New African Independence Movement.
One thing sure that they said, one thing just to follow up on that is, like I was telling some of the comrades down here in John Heaven Clark Town, we have to mingle with these people. We can't just mingle with each other. So a lot of time with revolutionary, we spend a lot of time amongst each other, and then we go amongst the people, like, doing work. We don't never just mingle with the people, like be ordinary people. And since we've been doing that in our city, we've been getting like way better results, more engagement, more people coming out, more people talking to us, just because we be out. So we have to be normal, too. We have to be normal. And whatever
yeah,
that
I think,
means.
I think it's that interaction, it's that communal
yeah.
spirit that's in us where we like being around, you know, things that look like
yeah.
us, that feel like us. And so, again, as you say, it's just being communal with the people. It makes them know that, you know, feel your realness. You know, they can feel your realness, and then that can attract them, you know, attract them to the movement that much more.
That's right, brother.
But that's what my thoughts were in terms of, as I was listening to you brothers and Mama Ayo speak about the spiritual development. Again, I think that, you know, from my perspective, I'm looking at the social and cultural component of the spirituality, and if we can just, you know, interact and intermingle with our people more, then that might help them to see that we, you know, that they don't have to be afraid of us, because their orientation teaches them to be afraid of New Africans.
True
indeed.
Well, hey, Rafiki, because that's something, that's what Rafiki, we've been struggling around that question for quite a long time, but especially in terms of Black August coming up this year. We want to make sure we are creative in a way that we approach the community. We want to bring them together, but we don't want to just bring them together for an event. We want to give them the greatest opportunity to get involved, stay involved, be a part of nation building and cadre building. And we're struggling around something Bomani said, you know, because it's difficult. Well, even what the brother just said, you know, it's difficult to just have the proper PR or the advertisement. Like, what do you, you know, people like to be involved with something that has something that they're familiar with, you know. So that's an excellent question, and it's important for us to really struggle around it continuously and just be approachable, be I try to anyway, you know, on the street, and be welcoming when you have an event where people know that they are safe, they feel safe and comfortable, that you ain't gonna scream down their neck about, nigga, you out there doing this, or you ain't in the struggle, you still brainwashed, you know, because you get all that on social media, you get enough of that on YouTube and these wild podcasters, young people are seeing and hearing these things, you hear that from the Brother Polites and the other brothers that came up with in his era on YouTube. I mean, all they did was shout at each other and create confusion and never offer a kind of a loving yet firm and revolutionary stance to offer people to come and join or give them an opportunity to come and join. In fact, I'm going to tell you this and let it go. I've invited people to revolutionary struggles and organizations, and I've said this several times, and I've had so-called revolutionaries disrupt the good order the peace, the building sisters came in with good intent, wanted to work and build and do. Maybe you have certain brothers who want to be misogynists and control freaks and so on and so forth. So all these things you have to work on as a community.
Freedom. Hold up. Freedom.
Yes, sir.
Foreign Cell, I'm going to cut you with. Had to cut you with. We got like less than 5 minutes left. I would like to get a guest, Brother Taj, with an opportunity to leave with some final thoughts since we closing.
Right on. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I would like to thank everyone for being on the call, and I really enjoyed this conversation. It was a beautiful dialogue, very beautiful. It gave a lot of us some things to think about. We have a lot more in common than we don't have in common. So that's always a good thing. And a lot of us from different states. So that's beautiful. With that being said, we have our campaign, Unite the Fight. And in each city, if y'all could help us, what we're looking to do is just start off with $20,000. If we can get 200 people to donate $100, that's $20,000. And we're going to invest into a grocery store or just a community store that got the needs of our people, you know. And we want to make sure that it's right in the community because our people walk. And we want to make sure they don't have to walk too far to get certain goods that they need, just necessity. You know, and in your city, you might not be received as well as you would like. However, when a lot of people hear your message outside of your city, it resonates with them. So I'm asking if you all could help we have this campaign going so that we could show our community how it's done. So if we say you're the Vanguard means you got to get out there and be the first line of protection. And the first line of protection is always politics, you know. So we want to go in and make sure that with this Unite the Fight campaign, we raise as much money as possible. It's something similar to Relay for Life. If y'all know what a Relay for Life is, they come together and raise money for cancer. Unite the Fight is we come together and raise money for the ills in our community so we can own, operate, and control it because we think we can do a better job than foreigners. That's just it. I thank all y'all for doing what y'all do. Any way that we can support y'all, let us know. We're willing to support everyone doing anything. If we can come to your programs, let us know. If we can just start trading and doing whatever, doing business together, let's do it. Anyway, we on Facebook, the People's Party for Independence, the People's Party for Independence on Instagram. Or you can hit all the Conrads directly. You know, if y'all got my money number, y'all can get my number. I'm willing to talk, dialogue. So whatever we can do, free the land, by any means necessary, let's do it. But like Rock Brown said, we got to start defining what any means necessary means. And one of my comrades told me that some people say any means necessary, but they not willing to do that.
True indeed. You know, again, I want to thank you for coming out of broadcast. Sure, you know, you understand. Thank you for doing the past, present, and the future. If you know, I got anyone, loved one, comrade, social behind enemy lines, please look at George University. We can be found on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we also have a website, which is www.georgejacksonuniversity-gdu.com. Again, it's georgejacksonuniversity-gdu.com. Law of the resistant, law of the guerrilla, and free the land.